in prayer. We're going to start in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness, Lord God. We thank you for your many blessings. Oh God, keep us, bless us, take us, Lord God, where you want us to be, Lord God. Yes, Lord, draw us closer to you, Lord God. Take us to where you want us to be, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord, for the living bread, Lord God, that feeds us every day, that keeps us, Lord, that sustains us, Lord God. And we pray as we go forward in this lesson, Lord God, that we would take in your living bread as a seriousness, Lord God. Oh, Father, that it wouldn't just be like any other lesson or any other thing, but we would understand that if we're not fed, Lord, we're weak. Lord, if you're not fed, we would die, Lord God. So Lord, let us draw into and press into the seriousness of the living bread, the bread of life, Lord. So we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So just recapping, we're going to be doing living this name. The bread of life is what we're on. The lesson that we're on is the bread of life. This week we're going to be doing living this name. And just to recap a little bit about last week, we talked about just knowing this name and really understanding the gravity and the seriousness of the living bread. And we talked about the church of Jesus Christ and how crucial and important that is and that should be to us as Christians. The church of Jesus Christ should be important to us. You know, it shouldn't be something that we do if we feel like it, yes, and if we don't feel like it, it's okay. It should be something that stands as a monument in our life, something that we support, something that we sustain, because this is the establishment, if you will, of our Lord and Savior. We talked about, we compared it to a nation like the United States. You know, what if there was no Capitol, and what if there was no Pentagon, and what if there was no White House? And yet we call ourselves a nation. You know, we call ourselves the United States, but yet we have nothing in our nation that represents the government or the governing of the nation. We just call ourselves that. You know, the same thing with the Church of Jesus Christ. We are a holy nation. The Bible calls us a holy nation, and our Pentagon is the church. Our White House is the church, you know, and so we support it, and we hold it up because it represents that we are a holy nation, that we are a people, you know, all over the world. See, the Church of Jesus Christ, the holy nation, is not just limited to one country. The Church of Jesus Christ is all over the world. So the church is very important. Our coming together as a group is very important, that we get edified, listening to the fivefold ministry gifts that God has put in place, the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, the prophets. Those are all a part and established by God for the church of Jesus Christ. So we've got to understand the importance of the church. It's not just something that, you know, is an option. It is something that stands as a symbol of our Lord and our Savior. It stands as a symbol that we are a holy nation and that we take our belief and our faith seriously. You know, and that's the way we have to see it. As I said, we're still talking about the bread of life, but we want to understand what it is to understand the bread and how we need to be sustained and how we need to maintain the church. We talked about communion last week and the importance of communion, because a communion is something, again, that is taken within the Church of Jesus Christ for the most part. And that communion part, that bread and that wine, represented the body and the blood of Jesus Christ and what communion meant. You know, communion means something. You got to think when you're taking in that communion, you got to know that it means fellowship with Christ and kinship with Christ. It means fellow feeling and togetherness with Christ. It means harmony with Christ. It means a connection and an empathy, meaning that you feel what he feels with Christ. So when you're taking that communion, you're taking his bread and his body within yourself, and you're saying that you understand him, and you commune with him, and you agree with him and his word. And we talked about how God takes the body of his son very seriously. He takes communion very seriously, and that's why that scripture we read, that some are sick among you because they took the communion unworthily, and some are sick among you, and some even sleep or have died because they didn't take it seriously. You know, folks, if there's one thing that you got to know God takes seriously, it is the death of his son for our sins. He doesn't play with that. You know, that's what, as I said, that's what makes Christianity stand out apart from every other religion on the planet, because Christianity is headed by the Son of God, the only person that was worthy to die for humanity. God has plenty of bulls and goats, and God has plenty of money. He doesn't even need money. You know, he can just call into being what he wants. So it's not about that. It's about his son. So when it comes to communion, you have to take communion seriously, because God takes it seriously. That you are saying, as the bride, that you're taking the bridegroom seriously. You're not cheating on the bridegroom. You're being faithful to the bridegroom. You know how some of us feel, you know, if you had a family member and somebody was cheating on one of your family members, how you would feel. You know, that's the way God feels when we're not faithful as the bridegroom, as a bride to his son, the bridegroom. And it doesn't mean that you walk in perfection. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having a heart toward him. Your heart is true. I may make mistakes and I may fumble sometimes, but my heart toward him is true. You know, I meant to do the right thing, Lord, but I just slipped. But my heart is back. My heart didn't mean to betray you. You know, that's what we're talking about, is having a heart toward Christ. And that's what God is looking at, our hearts, and that we, as the bride, are serious about our relationship. We're not just playing around with the Son, but we're serious about our relationship with him. Who needed a handout? Raise your hand if you need a handout. Thank you so much for getting those. Could you hand those out to people that had their hands up? Thank you. So as we go in, that was knowing this name. Now we're going into living this name and actually carrying it out. And in your handout, under the section that says living this name, the key verse says, is from Matthew 6, 10 through 12. And it says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it goes right into verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread.
Lord, help us.
And boy, we got to see the connection here. Let me read that again. It says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he says, give us this day our daily bread. So we got to tie this kingdom coming on earth, God's kingdom coming, with the daily bread, or the bread of life, as we're talking about. So the first part in your handout says, under this section says, as we revisit the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, we see a connection between the daily bread and the bread of life, and the coming of the kingdom and will of God on earth. Jesus requests that the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven. Then he requests the daily bread. For the kingdom of God cannot come to earth without his people taking in his daily bread, his sustenance daily. Let me read that again. The kingdom of God cannot come to earth without his people taking in his daily bread. We have to, again, this is serious. We really have to look so soberly at this. So as we look at the aspects of the kingdom of God, and we've reviewed this before in this class, but let's look at it again. As we review the aspects of the kingdom of God, we look at the two vital components of the kingdom, which is the king, God, who is forever in place and faithful to his role as our king, our sovereign, our Lord, our protector, our provider, our sustainer. And then the second part of the kingdom is loyal subjects, the loyal subjects, which is us. That means we're loyal. We're giving or showing firm and constant support or allegiance, faithfulness, trueness, devotedness, and dedicatedness. That's what loyalty means. So those are the two parts of the kingdom of God. So as we look at these components of the kingdom of God, we have to ask ourselves, do we agree with Christ and it's coming to earth? Do you want the kingdom of God to come to earth? That's the first question you got to ask. Do you want it to come? You know, because, you know, we might sit and be silent, but do you really want the kingdom of God to come to earth? And if you do, will you take his daily bread in to bring God's kingdom closer and closer to earth each day? The inescapable truth is that the earth needs the kingdom of God. Amen. Would you agree?
Yes.
The earth needs the kingdom of God. This earth, yes. We're dying as a race. We're dying as a people, folks. You know, we're going on a path of destruction, and this earth needs the kingdom of God to come to it.
Yes, Lord.
The next point says your entire life on earth is about bringing the kingdom of God to it. Let me say that again. Your entire life on earth is about bringing the kingdom of God to it. This is why Christ saved you, to be a part of the loyal subjects of God who bring his kingdom to the earth. Do you understand? That's why he saved you, to be a part of the royal priesthood, the holy nation that brings the kingdom of God to the earth. That's why he saved you. That's your purpose. If you want to know the meaning of life, well, there it is. That's the meaning of life, is so that you can bring the kingdom of God to the earth. But the question is, but how can you live this purpose without feeding on the daily bread or the bread of life? Bring his kingdom. Without taking in his daily bread, we can never bring his kingdom to us. It would elude us. We can't do it by our good works. We can't do it by our routines. We can't do it by our religion. Do you understand? You can't even do it by your religious acts. You can't bring the kingdom. The kingdom only will come through relationship. The kingdom will only come as you take in the bread and you grow in the Lord. That's how the kingdom will come. Every day as you're out there, the kingdom can come. As you take in that bread and then you go out amongst the people of the earth and you show them what Jesus Christ is all about. That is bringing the kingdom. The kingdom of God consists, again, of the King of God, the King who is God and his loyal subjects, you and me. But how can you be loyal to the King if you're not taking in his bread, his sustenance for your life? If you are eating at the table of another, you will be loyal to another. If you're eating at the table of another, you're going to be loyal to another. This is just basic behavioral response, folks. You know, you're going to be loyal to whoever is feeding you. You will lean toward that which feeds you. It is just a basic behavioral response of all life on earth. From flowers who lean toward the sun, as opposed to the darkness, the sun gives them, helps them make the food within themselves. That's why they lean toward the sunlight. Animals do the same thing. You start feeding an animal, and that animal is going to be loyal to you. From dogs to cats, to, you know, it's just a base, and it's basic. We're the same way. Human beings, we're the same way. Who's ever feeding us? Oh, that's who we're going to be loyal to. Because that's where we want our next meal. We want that next meal. So that's who we're going to be loyal to. So we have to understand, who are we gravitating toward? You have to choose your table wisely, because everyone is not serving good food. Do you understand?
Amen.
You have to choose your table wisely, because everyone is not serving good food. You need to even be praying about what church you go to. Because everybody's not serving good food, folks. It's not just the loudest. It's not the one that's got the best music. It's not this. It's the one that God tells you, there you go. You go here. You go there. God will give you an assignment. And you should be loyal and faithful to that assignment, come what may. Be faithful. Be loyal to the assignment that you're given. And he will put you at the table that will give you the good food that you need. That table may be over in a third world country somewhere. But if God sends you to that table, this is where you're going to get your food. That's where you go. Stop looking for all the bells and whistles and start listening to the voice of God and where he tells you to be. You know, I'm telling you, this is a serious lesson. Because it's talking about taking in that bread. And when you take in that bread, you have to be, and he's sustaining you. If you want to continue to be sustained, you need to be at the table he tells you to be at. And don't leave that table unless he moves you to another table. But we have to be careful because everybody is not serving good food. Do you understand? Yeah. There's some food out there that is laced with all kind of entrapments and even poisons. And people are taking it in every day and they're dying. The world is at a table. The people that don't know Christ, they are at it. They're feeding at a table. And that table has all these things and all these poisons in it. You know, I just look at our world. I look at some of the legislation we've done and made, and I'm like, what are we doing? We're eating all this rotten, putrid fruit and taking it into ourselves and giving it to our children, and we wonder why we're dying. Because we're not eating at his table. So you got it. This is very serious. Where are you eating? This is a personal question. Where are you? Who's feeding you? Be careful where you're feeding, where you're eating, and what you're eating. Be very careful. The enemy is cunning, man. He's been at this long before you ever got here. And he's cunning. He knows how to trap you. And you Christians, he's not going to come at you with overt sin because you're too smart for that. He's coming at you through the back door. He's coming at Christians through a window. So we have to be very careful that we're taking in that daily bread. So the Lord is teaching us every day. I mean, I love the way the Lord warns me and he tells me, be careful. You know, sometimes I'm sitting in a meeting, the Holy Spirit, be careful of that. This is the way you need to respond to this because they're laying a trap. Be careful. And it's because I took in the daily bread that day. That day, so many times I'm like, Lord Jesus, I'm so glad. I'm so glad I spent time with you this morning because I didn't know this was coming. I didn't know. So you want to take in that daily bread. So the enemy is not deceiving you or slipping you something. You know, in the day they talk slipping someone a Mickey. The enemy will slip you a Mickey, honey. If you're not careful, you better stay at your table, okay? I'm just going to go sit at his table for a minute and just see what it's like over here. Because it looks nice over at his table. So I'm just going to sit here at his table, you know, because it looks nice. And honey, you turn your head and somebody else put something in your drink. That's the way the enemy is, I'm telling you. I know it sounds comical, but that's the way the enemy will do. That's why we got to take in that daily bread, folks. This is so serious, you know. It's hard to see believers that fall, that slip up. You know, it happens, and yes, Lord Jesus is gracious to restore people, and I'm so glad for that. You know, but we have to just be careful. As the scripture says, we walk circumspectly. And if you break down that word, it means circumference or circle. And spec means like spectacles, means to see. That's what that word means. Look all around you is what that word means. So the Bible warns us, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So you have to be careful. Oh, beloved, you have to be careful. God, you're God's beloved, and he wants you to be careful. The next point says, however, if we take in the king's bread each day, as you face troubles and challenges of this life, his bread is poured out of you or out of us into this hurting world. His bread of life ebbs out of you each day as you live in his name. Therefore, each day you need a refilling, a fresh meal on his bread of life so that his kingdom can come to this world around us and so that you do not become weak and faint as you are drained of his bread this world so desperately needs. That's why you need the daily bread too. Because every day it's being ebbed out of you. Amen. You may not even realize it, but that person you're praying for and that person that you're ministering to and that person that you're bringing that cup of coffee to and that person, how the Lord is talking to you about this, that, and the other thing, you know, that you're giving out and giving out and giving out, you know, so that the kingdom of God could come. And so you need a refilling, just like you need a filling of food every day. You know, you need that filling. Why? Because you're moving around, you're doing all this stuff, and you're burning calories. That food has turned into energy into your body, and you're burning it up with every movement you make. You're burning it up. So you have to refresh yourself. You have to come back to the table daily. You have to see yourself as a missionary for the kingdom of God. You're a missionary for the kingdom.
Amen.
You know, there's nobody, there's no believer that is not a missionary. You're a missionary for the kingdom. You're always pouring out. You know, you don't. Some of you all pour out so much, you don't even realize when you're pouring out. It's so automatic, which is wonderful. It's so automatic. Somebody needs something, you're right there. You see the homeless person, there you go. Give it to them. You know, you're just always giving out that you don't even realize it. You especially. Beloved, keep feeding on the Lord. Don't skip your daily quiet times. I know you've been a Christian for years and years, and you've always had your quiet times. Don't move away from it. You know, because sometimes we feel like we're so strong in the Lord, and you know, we're teaching Sunday school, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, and we're in leadership. Oh, I'm telling you, you better press in even harder if you're in leadership. I'm telling you. Because as I said, Satan bowls. And what I mean by that, he gets the front center pin. Because if he can knock down the front center pin, all the other pins will fall down. So you got to understand, as you're leading whatever, you could be leading, you could be the priest in your household. No one else is a believer but you. You know, and you're praying for people and praying for your family and praying for people at your work and all that. Oh, he's got his eyes on you. So you press in. Pray, take in the daily word. Pray even more. You know, take in that daily word so you can stand strong in the evil days. Stand strong, you know. And it's getting harder and harder. I don't know if you guys sense it, but it's getting harder and harder. You know, the world, the society we live in is changing every day. And we've got to stand. Having done all to stand, the scripture says, stand therefore. And we've got to stand. But you won't be able to stand if you're not taking in the daily bread and letting him talk to you and minister to you every morning. The next point says, as we revisit Psalm 23, we see the connection between the reference to the valley of the shadow of death and the table prepared by the Lord. The bread of life that refreshes and restores is laid out for us in the midst of our enemies. In the middle of our problems, our tragedies, he lays out his table for us to dine on and receive our strength and sustenance. Hallelujah. Is it not true, folks? Some of you have gone through some tragedies. Oh, and he'll lay out that table. He doesn't leave you in the tragedy. I know your heart is broken, and I know, but he'll lay out that table, especially when you're hurting. And as the psalmist said, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. And he'll lay out that table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, I'm reading it here. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, hallelujah, to protect, and your staff to guide. They comfort and console me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed and refreshed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Psalm 23, 4. That's just two verses, 4 and 5. Hallelujah. So as we look at this in detail, the next first point on this says, the psalmist David described what it is to live his name, the bread of life. We walk daily in a valley filled with the shadows of darkness from Satan, our enemy. We are constantly under attack, but we do not need to fear, for Christ, the bread of life, is with us to feed us, to refresh us, and restore us to endure the journey. But you must be taken in again, the daily bread. I know it sounds like a broken record, but I want you to get it. If you're not feeding at his table, you're not going to make it through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to succumb to the evil there and the wickedness there because you're not taking it in. We've seen it over and over again. You make an excuse, I'm not going to church. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be around the believers. I'm not going to assemble myself. I don't want to be in the Bible study. I don't want to. And you're getting weaker and weaker. Because at any given moment, folks, in this world, we are walking through this valley. of the shadow of death, but the psalmist said, I fear no evil, for you are with me. So we must again look at the seriousness of our daily nourishment. And you know, as I said, if you have ever gone a day without food, you know how it is. I don't know, I mean, most of us have at least had a fasted one day. And you know, after one day, boy, shoot, some of us, like, we miss breakfast and we all dizzy, you know. And you know, you can't focus, you can't think, you know, you can't do anything, you don't have any strength, you know. Now imagine your spirit man like that. Can't focus, can't think, scriptures don't even come up in your head, you can't think of a song, and that's just the way the enemy likes you. Stumbling around the battlefield, all disoriented. That's exactly the way he wants you, so he can take you down.
Amen.
And in some cases, take you out. So just imagine, just keep that picture in your head that you want to be strong in the Lord. You want to have your armor on. You know, that we talked about last week, that the daily bread in the connection with the armor. You know, when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt and they told them, you eat the lamb, you eat the unleavened bread, and then you put on your armor because we're leaving in the morning. You know, they were connected, you know, just like we're connecting the kingdom of God with the daily bread. We're connecting, we have to connect that armor with the daily bread. So whatever you feed, and you probably you've heard this term before, whoever you feed the most is going to be the strongest. So we want to make sure that we are feeding our spirit so we can remain loyal to the kingdom of God. That's who we want to sustain. And next point said, as the bread is on his table, our strength and our instruction, The oil the psalmist speaks of is our blessing, or endorsement to go forth into the day in his name to do his work. As kings are anointed to lead in the name of God, so are you when you dine at his table. So that oil, my cup runneth, you anointed my head with oil. Let's talk about that for just a minute, because that means something. An anointing is a blessing or an endorsement from God when you are anointed. The anointing gives you the passage through the valley of the shadow of death. That they must part. The demons must part to let you pass because you have the anointing of God on you. You have the king's orders. It's like having the king's orders when you've got the anointing. You've taken in his daily bread. You've been at his table. He's anointed your head with oil, and you've got orders now. So you can go right through the valley of shadow of death, and they have to move. You know, the demons tremble. You know, they didn't mess with Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. They didn't even mess with him. They begged him, don't cast us back down into hell. Can we just go into pigs, please? That's how afraid they were of him. And so when you have his endorsement, when you have his orders, the orders from the bread of life, you can just walk through all situations. I don't care what you're facing tomorrow. You could be facing court. You can be facing whatever you have to deal with. If you've got the anointing on you and the king's orders, you're going to walk right through that situation. And everything's going to be all right, because those demons will have to part for you to go through. And those demons will have to be silent.
Praise God.
You'll be surprised at how the Lord will silence the mouth of the enemy and demons talking through people. If you would just get your daily bread and get your anointing before you go out in the morning. We have, you know, sometimes we think the anointing is just for the preachers and for the prophets, and for the anointing is for every one of God's children.
Amen.
If they would just sit at the table and take it and let him anoint you in the morning before you go out, and just watch those demons part. Oh my goodness, how the kingdom of God would come if we went out with the anointing. How the kingdom of God would come to Pueblo. If we went out with the anointing on us.
Hallelujah.
The demons would have to be silent and would have to move out of the way, because a child of the living God is walking through.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. So that anointing, that anointing is our blessing. And they must part and let you pass. You will walk into places or meetings and accomplish things in the name of the King that others could not do. But you come in the name of the King and you get it done. And you get it accomplished. And they will look at you and wonder, how did you get that done? It is because I've got the orders of the King. That's how I get it done. The next point said, with his bread comes his blessing that he pours into our lives as we are on this journey. The blessing means that he goes before us and makes the way possible. He moves the rocks that would have caused us to stumble because we have taken in his bread, his strength, and his instructions. We have decided to do it Christ's way and in Christ's strength, and now we have his blessings. He will guide us around the traps the enemy has set for us. You know, as the scripture has said, and those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, declared free from the guilt of sin. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them into a heavenly dignity. What then shall we say to these things? Hallelujah. If God is for us, who can be successful against us?
The Lord Jesus.
That's Romans 8:30-31. Hallelujah. He said, I predestined you. I've already predestined your victory in the situation. So if God is for you, who can stand against you? Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, this is the drop the mic moment. I wish I had something to just drop the mic. Okay, just got to drop the mic. Hallelujah. The next point said the psalmist goes on to talk about the cup that runs over.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
With the bread also comes his abundance. That's what that means. The cup runs over. There's an abundance. Our book references the blessings on Joseph during the famine in Egypt. They had plenty of bread during the famine because a man of God was in prayer beforehand, taking in his daily spiritual bread. His bread and his blessings go hand in hand. Egypt had such an abundance of bread that they had enough to sell to the surrounding regions who were also hit by the famine, including Joseph's brothers, the lineage of Christ. See, oh man, I'm telling you, I was excited when I was doing this yesterday. Your daily bread is not just for you and it's not just about you. Do you understand?
Amen.
You think, oh, it doesn't matter whether I study, whether I read, whether I pray, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. If Joseph was not having his time with God, he would have never had those dreams and those things and be able to interpret them the way he did. So they were prepared for what was coming, this great famine that lasted 7 years. And everybody was starving. All the regions around them were starving, but because Joseph took the time to prepare himself and to pray, he was able to save the people of Egypt and the surrounding regions, and some of them were his own family, the lineage of Jesus Christ who saved the world. You never know what you're taking in that bread for. We are like ripples in a pond, and only God knows how the ripples are coming together to save and to make a difference in the world. Your little ripple, you think you're not doing anything, but that ripple can grow and grow to a point to save the world like it did here. You are standing in the gap for others that don't yet know how to come to his table. Joseph stood in the gap. Esther stood in the gap. Remember Queen Esther? She stood in the gap. You know, remember Mordecai told her, how do you know that you did not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So you need to be taking in your bread. Now, of course, Esther, you know, Esther, man, she got on it. She went on a fast, had everybody fast. Okay, Esther was taking in some speedy bread. She's like, I've been taking a lot of bread, so we need to go on a fast. See, when you need a lot of bread, you know, sometimes you're like, I need a power boost, man, of the daily bread. That's when you fast. So that's what Esther did. She took in a lot of bread because she was standing in the gap, not just for her, it was for the whole nation. And again, the lineage of Christ. the Christ that would save the entire world. And because this queen stood in the gap, oh, hallelujah, you don't know who you're standing in the gap for.
Amen.
You don't know who you're standing in the gap for. You know, some of us don't even know who's in our household. You don't know who your children are. You don't know what your children are going to be doing. You think, I'm just praying for my child. I'm just praying for my child like any mother, father would pray for their child. You don't know what that child's going to do. That child may make an incredible difference in the world. But because you're standing in the gap and you're praying, you're taking in your daily bread. They won't take it in because they're too busy trying to do what they ever want, whatever they think they know to do. But you are taking in the daily bread and you're pleading and crying over that child. And because of you, the difference will be made. There's a scripture in Ezekiel, if you want to turn to this in your Bible, Ezekiel 22. And I'm reading verses 29 through 31. And it says, the people of the land have practiced oppression and extortion and have committed robbery. They have wronged the poor and needy, and they have oppressed the stranger without justice. I search for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the sake of the land, that I would not destroy it. But I found no one, not even one. This is God speaking to the prophet Ezekiel. Can you imagine? Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. I have repaid their way by bringing it upon their own head, says the Lord God. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound familiar as he's describing the people and the land? The people, the land have practiced oppression and extortion. They have committed robbery. They have wronged the poor and the needy. They have oppressed the stranger without justice. Oh my God. Oh my God. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound like us? I'm telling you, I sometimes I'm just blown away by the greed of this nation, the corporate greed. You know, I mean, you know, I don't want to dog out any mobile phone company, but I just got my phone restored, and I just could not believe all the charges this, I'm charges that, and charges that, and if you bring the phone back, there's a stalking charge, and I'm like yeah. Lord Jesus, I'm like, this is just robbery, yeah. You know? Yeah. You know, got you over a barrel, you know, you need your phone, so I'm like, it's just the corporate greed. You know, my sister works in corporate America. She talks about just the greed in the banks with all the charges and all the interest rate and all the stuff. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, we rob people. You know, and don't be in desperate need where you have to go to some of these finance companies. Oh my God, 21% interest. I'm like, what is that? Because we rob people. We rob the desperate. We oppress the poor. And God looks down on it. See, God sees everything. He sees everything. You know, we might just call it business. Well, that's just business. But God sees everything. God knows that there's enough food on the planet to feed everybody. God knows that. God knows that. So why are there people starving? Because we're greedy and we're selfish and we're... And God looks down. See, when he, this is, yeah, so he's looking at this nation and he looks at the world, and I hate to pick on the United States, but we have so much. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. And I thank God that we send more missionaries out than anybody else. Thank you, Jesus, for that. You know, that we do. But we could do so much more. We could do so much more as a people. But he asked, I search for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me. That means somebody that would pray, somebody that would get on their face and pray for the nation and pray for the situations and pray for this generation. And the scripture says that he found nobody. Folks, let it not be said about us that God looked and he searched and he searched and he searched. And he found no one. I looked through Pueblo, someone that would stand in the gap for Pueblo. I see what's happening in Pueblo. I see, you know, that there are 5 to 10 babies born on drugs every month in Pueblo. Do you know that? When I was in med school years ago, I don't want to date myself, but it was just an occasional thing. You know, maybe once a month, you know, maybe once every few months you saw a crack baby. But in Pueblo, we have 5 to 10 innocents being born every month in Pueblo. Babies addicted to drugs. And so God asked, I look for somebody to stand in the gap for Pueblo. Stand in the gap for these babies. Who will pray for the babies? Who will pray for the mamas that are hooked on drugs? Who will pray? Who will take the time to take in the daily bread and as the Holy Spirit impresses upon you, people to pray for and situations to pray for, can God find you standing in the gap? You may not be addicted to drugs. You may not have family members addicted to drugs, but would you stand in a gap for people that are lost? Folks, I'm talking about a call to prayer. As I said, this lesson was going to be serious. It's going to hit us hard. It has to hit us hard because we are the ones that are supposed to be changing things. We are the ones that are supposed to be bringing the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And it doesn't, you know, I used to think it came by standing on a street corner passing out tracts. And I thought it used to come from, you know, going and with your Bible and just kind of beating people with the Bible and the scripture said. No. Folks, you know, it's going to come with you on your face crying out for God to sweep, for his Holy Spirit to come. You know, I pray, God, give us a praying spirit. Give us a praying spirit to stand in the gap. Take in his bread and then stand in the gap and bless those that need it. Bless those that need that bread. The next point says our book also references the feeding of the multitude in John 6. The scripture records that they had such an abundance that they had baskets left over. Christ supplies us with more than we could ask or think when we take in his bread. Note that Philip in the passage was looking at the numbers or the cost to feed the crowd of people, but Jesus had to show him the abundance of the bread of life. See, this is an amenity, if you will, of taking in the bread of life that Christ will give you in abundance. You start taking in his bread, he will give you an overflow of whatever. You know, I'm not saying it's going to necessarily be money or anything, but it'll be an overflow of something. And it won't be, please keep in mind, it's not just about you. Keep Joseph in mind. It wasn't just to feed Joseph. It was to feed Joseph, the whole nation of Egypt, and the surrounding areas. You know, so when you're blessed with an abundance, Lord, what is this for? I got more than I need. What is it for? Where do I minister? Where do I go? You might have an abundance of time. I got all this time on my hands, Lord. What do I do with all this extra time? What do I do, Lord? Ask him. Because the blessing of taking in the bread is that he gives you an anointing. And Philip was looking at the cost. Oh my goodness. Sometimes it's going to cost you something. Sometimes you have to look past the cost and look at the Savior. It will cost you time. It will cost you effort. And yes, it will cost you some money. But the harvest will far exceed your cost because of the touch of the hand of the bread of life.
Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
See, we can't be a Philip looking at the cost. Well, if I do that, it's going to cost me this cost. Yeah. If the Lord says do it, folks, do it. You know, sometimes you are given out of your need, you know, but still with the Lord on your side, you still have an abundance.
Amen.
He's
going
to take care of you. If he told you to give it, trust me, he's going to take care of you.
Amen.
So again, we just want to look at that aspect of living. We're talking about living this name. That's what we're talking about today. And that means that we're giving, you know, he'll give us that abundance. And when we get that abundance, we don't hoard it to ourselves. We don't pad our bank accounts even more. We ask, Lord, what do we need to do? How do we need to give this out? Who do we need to give this to? Who needs it, Lord? You know, I got two cars, Lord God. What? Show me, Lord, where do I give this? Why do I have an abundance? Why do I have two vehicles? Why do I have... Lord, show me. Show me what you want here, Father. And he'll show you. You know, many of you, he's already been talking to you. You know, it's hard. It's hard because, you know, I told you my story, how he told me to give away that minivan. And I was like, no, please, Jesus, I just paid for it. I'm just looking forward to, and I'm having a car payment, Jesus. And I want to do this and I want to do that. And God said, give it. I'm like, no, please. You know, even was hit by a hailstorm. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I remember that day vividly, man. Man, that hailstorm came in Pueblo a few years ago, man. You guys remember that golf ball size hail? Oh my goodness, I was huddled under a tree in my minivan that God had told me to give away. And I'm like, Jesus, please, I'll give it, I promise I'll give it. So it was a little dented up, but I gave it. You know. So we just want to, you know, be obedient. But you know, he blessed me behind it. He blessed me behind it. He has blessed me behind it. Even when you, you know, give it and he has to kind of pry it out of your hands. He's so good. He's so gracious. He still blessed me. So he is so good. So, and our final scripture, you know, this scripture is a prayer, as you know, and it's from Ephesians 3. 20 through 21, and it says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. 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 He'll do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. And just because you gave a car doesn't mean you're going to get a car back. Okay? You might give a car and that might be the breakthrough that your child or the person you've been praying for sees that you did that, and that's what breaks, pulls them over into the kingdom of God. Like, if you will do that, then I know God must be real. You don't know. God is like, you don't know how God is dealing. But he does exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or what you can think. I know I'm a witness he does. He surprises me every day with stuff he's doing that I didn't even think of. I needed it, I wanted it, but I didn't even ask him for it, but he did it.
Praise God.
Because he would know we would need it. Any comments? Where are my preachers? Where are our preachers? Joanne, I see you. I'm coming your way, Joanne, because I know you've got something to say.
It's just like, you know, God is saying, okay, I'm waiting for you to do what you're supposed to do, and then I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But he's waiting for us to take that action step.
Yes, yes.
And until we do that,
yes,
he can't, I mean, he can, but he's waiting for us.
Yes.
For us to do our part.
Do our part.
That's right.
Yes. You know, I'm thinking about with the loaves and the fishes, it's like the way the scriptures say it. He blessed it and then he told the disciples, we'll pass it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like it multiplied right there after the blessing. It was more like you had to get up
and
start moving and giving it away.
Yes.
And then
came
the abundance. Yes. The blessing was coming. So, yes, he requires that act of faith.
You were talking about searching for people and you went to Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord gave me this scripture years ago, Ezekiel 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read it. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. This is talking to every one of us. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked person, you will surely die. And you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life. That wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold us accountable for their blood.
Wow.
But if you do not warn the wicked person and they do not turn from their wickedness or from their evil ways, they will die for their sin, but you will have saved yourself.
Wow.
I think to myself, there's so many times that we take for granted what God has given, all this bread, and we take it for granted and we don't share it.
Mm-hmm.
That's telling me we don't share it, we got a problem. We have to share the word of God.
Yeah.
Because somebody did for us, and that's why we're sitting here today.
Yeah.
Somebody prayed through for us, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
But if we don't share it, we're responsible for that soul that you just let walk off. And I see that with Nathan now in the condition he's in. And I always thought to myself, what good is coming out of all this? I have seen and so many people come into the doors of my home that hear the goodness and the faithfulness and the love of Christ. Do I take the glory? No. Because to God be the glory. CNAs, nurses, they're just, and they all are hearing precious Jesus, either through music or through whatever way that Lord puts on my heart. So that's why I say, we don't know. But when I go back to when Kevin left, now this is my young son, and we were at St. Leander's doing the services, Nathan got up and read on his brother's behalf, and he read Psalms 23. While he was over there reading, what went through my mind was that he was going to be a man of the word and share Christ.
Hmm.
In other words, what went through my mind is Nathan was going to be used.
Hmm.
Wow.
And look at him today.
Yes. Yes.
How our ways are not God's ways.
Hey, I tell you.
I tell you. Our mind is so far. I would have never thought in a million years that I would be taking care of my son. But thank God, because there are souls being saved through it. And that's what this is all about.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Share the word. Got a lot of bread? Give it away.
Yes, I'm telling you. Virginia, I feel you. You know, same thing with my son, Matt, man. I was like, why, God, why? Why, God, why me? You know, but I see now today.
And it was a lot
You know,
for us.
It was just how God was putting things together and bringing people together because of Matthew's diagnosis, his autism. I'm telling you, so many have come to Christ.
That's right.
Because of
That's
it. Right. Because it brought a group of people together. You know, to carry out a purpose, you know, that we are, you know, treating kids with autism. But my goodness, the way God is blessing is just amazing. And I could have never thought this up or put this together. But God says, no, I'm going to give you Matthew, and that's going to make the difference. I'm going to give you Nathan, and that's going to make the difference, you know. So again, you know, our work is to continue standing in the gap and to be praying. So many people I'm praying for that I would have never been praying for had it not been for Matt. I wouldn't be praying for these people. I would have never met them. But because of him, people have come to know Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, he causes all things to work together for good.
Romans 8,
for them that love God and called according to his purpose. Anybody else have a comment? I see a lot of people looking.
I remember something you said on a Wednesday night. You were standing in line at Walmart, and the people in the line in front of you were irritating you for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord convicted you and said, but
who's praying for?
I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
And I think about that, because we all get very irritated in the line at Walmart quite often, or in the parking lot or anything else. Even when you're looking at the cover of the tabloids, yes, there's still people.
Yes.
And to pray for them, and I never forgot
yes,
that.
Yes.
And you're oh. right. Instead of getting irritated or road rage or whatever, to pray.
Yes.
And it does, it calms your spirit. But I don't yes. ever forget that.
Yes. And you're absolutely right, because, you know, she's talking about road rage and people get on your nerves and frustrating you, and nobody's praying for them. When someone cuts you off like that, and you're like, the first one, oh, I can't believe he did that. Huh? And some of us would even just try and cut them off back. To, oh.
Yeah.
You know, but the Lord will mention. I hope the Lord brings up who's praying. See, I had that person cut you off because somebody needs to pray for that person. Because if they keep driving like that, they could kill somebody or kill themselves, you know, and end up in eternity without knowing Christ. So the question should always come up, who's praying for them? You're frustrated. You're just talking about them. But who is praying? And I felt so ashamed. I remember I just felt so ashamed within myself. I said, well, I'm not. I'm just talking about them and frustrated with them. But when the Lord moves you, you know, so I just encourage you. Next time you feel that frustration with somebody, remember those words. Who's praying for that person? And perhaps God put them in your path so that you could pray. You know, as they told Esther, perhaps you were put here for such a time as this, that they cut you off for such a time as this, so you could pray for them and lift them up. So folks, let's let the kingdom of God come. Did you have a comment? Okay. Just let's pray and let the kingdom of God come. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord God. And we pray right now, oh God, that your kingdom would come. Oh, Lord, let it come in us, Lord God. Let it come strong. Let it come powerful, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray that we would not from this day on, Lord God, that we would never again neglect the daily bread, that we would never neglect coming to your table, oh, Lord, and taking in your bread and letting your anointing fall upon us, Lord God, so that you can anoint us with oil as we go out into this world, Lord God, that is so full of sin, that is so full, oh, Lord God, of hurting people, Lord God. Oh, Lord, people are dying all around us, Lord God. And all we can think about is ourselves. But Lord, let it not be said again of your children. Lord God, we declare and we make the declaration that we are a royal priesthood, that we are a holy nation, and we're going to live like a holy nation, and we're going to walk like a holy priesthood, Lord God, and we're going to walk through this world like priests, Lord God, that we would look at the needs of the people, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that we would lay ourselves at your feet, Lord, that we would decrease and you would increase, Lord God, that you would remind us each and every day, are we praying? Who's praying? Who's praying, Lord God, that would reverberate in our spirit? Who's praying, Lord God? Who's praying, Lord God? And let us be able to answer, I'm praying, Father. I am praying, Lord God. I am standing in the gap, Lord God. Lord, use me. Take me, Lord God. Oh, Lord, to stand in the gap for that person, Lord God, that no one may be praying for, that no one may be loving, that no one may be caring, that people are just angry at them and hate them, Lord God. But let me stand in the gap for them, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I praise you, Lord God. We want to be your people, Lord God. We don't want to just have lip service and just have a name tag that says Christian on it, Lord God. We want, Lord God, a Christianity to be in our spirit and in our soul, that it would be radiate out to the world, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I pray again. We go back to the bread of life. Let us take in the bread of life, the living bread, the living bread, the living bread, Lord God. Let's take it in, Lord God. Let us be careful at the tables that we sit at to dine. Oh, Lord, that we're sitting and feeding at the right tables, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. And we praise you. And, Lord, we expect you. Lord, we expect you any day, Lord God. We expect your presence in our lives, Lord God. We expect your Holy Spirit to move on our behalf, Lord God. We expect you in every way. And throughout our day, Lord God, we expect you, Lord God. Speak to us, minister to us, Lord God. Let us dialogue with you throughout the day. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. The bread of life. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.